Okay, what I did was I took the last few points of the last outline I gave you and retyped them for this sheet, so we can start now at the top of this new sheet. Just need one for myself here. And what we want to do today is look at, probably just have a chance to look at positively using what has been called preventative discipline. Preventative discipline. Let's read. I'd like to read just Ephesians 6, verse 4. Ephesians 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The emphasis here is, you've got to do the positive. If you bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and all that entails, God can bless that so that a lot of the more negative forms of discipline can be more minimized as you exercise the positive, preventative forms of discipline. So let's look at that after we pray. Dear Lord, we bow before Thee in these moments and we beg of Thee to bless us and guide us and let Thy benediction rest upon what we've just witnessed and heard, that Thou wouldst be with all the new professing members of our church coming from many different nations. Lord, may Thou own it and may it be a great blessing to our congregation as well. And do grant us as parents what we need to give clear instructions to our children and to discipline them positively by showing them Thy ways and guiding them and giving them such clear scriptural teaching that they will be directed in the way in which they must go. Help us to do that in all humility, looking to Thee and leaning upon Thee, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to read to you an amazing statement by here we are. Susanna Wesley. Susanna Wesley, who had many children, she wrote to friends about how she disciplined her children. And I find it very interesting. And it illustrates the first point I want to make. I've got really 5 points. I don't think I put these in the outline. But the first point is, preventative discipline involves conquering the will of our children. A fundamental conquering of the will when our children are very young. Listen to Susanna Wesley. This is a fairly long quotation, but I hope you find it helpful. In order to form the minds of children, the first thing to be done is to conquer their will and bring them to an obedient temper. To inform the understanding is a work of time and must with children proceed by slow degrees as they are able to bear it. But the subjecting of the will is the thing that must be done at once and must be done early. And the sooner the better. For by neglecting timely correction, they will contract a stubbornness and obstinacy which is hardly ever afterward conquered. And never without using such severity as would be painful to me as to the child. In the esteem of the world, they pass for kind and indulgent, whom I call cool parents, who permit their children to get habits which they know must afterwards be broken. Nay, some are so stupidly fond, meaning foolishly fond, as in sport, to teach their children to do things which after a while they have severely beaten them for doing. Whenever a child is corrected, it must be conquered, And this will be no hard matter to do if it be not grown headstrong by too much indulgence to begin with. When the will of a child is totally subdued and is brought to revere and stand in awe of the parents, then a great many childish follies and inadvertencies may be passed by. I insist upon conquering the will of all my children, betimes, because this is the only strong and rational foundation of a religious education. When this is thoroughly done, then a child is capable of being governed by reason and piety of its parents until its own understanding comes to maturity and the principles of religion have taken root in the mind. I well remember talking to a couple who had 10 children, and they recalled the exact experience for all 10 of where they broke that child's will. I can't say that of our three. I can say it of one of the three, that there was a particular experience my wife had, actually. I wasn't there at the moment, but where the child was very defiant and rebellious and would not lay down in the crib no matter what. And my wife had to break her will. It was very hard on my wife. But that happened. And the child surrendered. And there was a turning point there in the relationship between parents and child. Now, that doesn't mean you do that cruelly, but what Susanna Wesley is saying is this is preventative medicine for the long-term well-being of that particular child. Secondly, clear rules and clear punishments. Clear rules and clear punishments. You see, a child needs great clarity. And often what happens, because a child thinks very differently from an adult, is that what the adult says by implication doesn't get through to the child because the child reads it in a different way. Let me give you an example. All right, son, we're going to go in 15 minutes. We want you to clean up your room before we go. Sounds pretty clear, doesn't it? So the son walks to the room, and there's 74 things on the floor and about 25 other things out of place, and he cleans up 5 of them. And comes down 15 minutes later, did you clean your room? Yep. And the mother or the father goes into the room and says, what? It's a pig pen in here. You didn't clean your room. What do you mean? I cleaned my room. That child thinks very differently, you see. But if you walk over to him and say, now, we know there's a number of things on the floor. Before we go in 15 minutes, we want everything off the floor and put in the proper place. That's clear. Everything off the floor means everything. Off the floor is concrete. And then you ask, when the child comes down, did you get everything off the floor? Maybe this is a weak example, but you get the point. You give clear instructions that cannot be misunderstood, and then you have to spank less because the clarity is there to begin with. Thirdly, to give specific directives on various issues about how to live, especially as our children get a little bit older, is very important. To talk over issues with them, to foster an attitude of integrity is absolutely critical. It's critical down to the smallest things. It's critical even as to how you cross a border into Canada and what you say to the man who asks you questions. Are you going to skirt around issues? Are you going to water things down? Are you going to give false impressions? And it's so important that a father and a mother, and God help us all, display a manifest integrity before our children in every single area of our lives. Children need three things: consistency on the part of mom and dad. And given our foolish, fickle hearts, we're prone to be inconsistent. We're prone to let down our hair, let down our guard, so to speak. That's the way we like to put it. But really, we're prone to sin. And children need to see us walk with integrity before God. And that, hopefully, will rub off on them with the Spirit's blessing in powerful ways that sometimes will even astonish us. Someone was telling me the story recently of, actually, one of our ministers, and they follow all the rules of driving so carefully because they instructed their children, these are God's rules. You put your seatbelt on not only because you could get stopped and get a ticket if you don't have it on. You put your seatbelt on because it's the law of the land and God gave the rules and so on and so on. So they've spent time instructing their children, you obey the laws of the land. So one day a son got in his vehicle and went to a large city about 50 miles away. And this family is a big family, lots of children. The mother has lots of duties. And she gets a call 45 minutes later from her son. He's just a few miles away from work. And he says to his mom, "Mom, I just realized I forgot my driver's license." "Oh," she said. "That's too bad. But just drive really careful." "No, Mom, I can't drive without a driver's license. I'm 5 minutes from work, but..." "Well, maybe you can just go on to work and..." "No, Mom. You've taught me I can't drive without a driver's license. You need to come and get me." And the mother actually had to leave, find arrangements for all the children. The son would not move. Now, you say that's extreme, and they kind of laughed about it, how extreme it was. But, you see, wouldn't you rather have your child respond that way than flirt with laws and rules and show a lack of integrity? So sometimes your children will outdo you as you try to be consistent. They'll outdo you. And they'll detect hypocrisy and things that you never thought about before. That's one blessing about having children. They can be a kind of conscience to us when our own conscience has grown soft on certain areas. So, but in the end of the day, the point is that when you show integrity and you give specific directives in different areas of life based on the Bible, your children's conscience will speak loudly when they contradict those things, which is exactly what you want. And even if they're not converted yet, they will show a remarkable degree of conscience pangs doing something that contrary to the kind of integrity that you've been talking to them about. Number four, you can use preventative discipline by asking many questions. Now, this is a touchy one, and we can go the wrong way here. I'm not talking about probing, exaggerative questions where, and I think moms tend to be a little better at this than dads, I think, where you badger or nitpick your child. Not talking about that. But I'm talking about caring questions. When your child comes home, you talk about where they've been, what they've done, what experiences they've had. And when you have a very open relationship, your child will come out with things and will feel guilty covering up things, maybe things that weren't quite right. When there's an atmosphere of love, you'll bring them out in the open. And these questions, you see, give opportunities for misdemeanors, shall I say, to surface and to be corrected before they become habits. And so, speaking together, asking questions, being really interested in what your children experience is very, very good. Very good. My parents, when I was 16, 17, 18, they weren't very, very good at that, actually. They didn't ask me many questions about where I'd been and what I'd done. And I'm trying to learn from that. Not to do that. To ask questions in a loving way. And I think it actually becomes a preventative form of discipline in the process. And finally, fifth. An important form of preventative discipline, I'm convinced, is to love your children and tell them you love them, show them you love them in a thousand different ways. So they know deep down, Dad and Mom love every one of us. And Mom and Dad love us all so much that they're not worried about who loves who the most, because they get so much love from both parents that, well, they're basking in love. You see, where there's abundance of love and tender yet firm discipline, that combination is very preventative. Where there's love but no discipline, we spoil the child, Proverbs says. Where there's a lot of discipline but no love, we do what Ephesians 6 says, we provoke our children to wrath. And that's an awful thing. It's hard to say which is worse. We need both love and discipline. And as we work these things together, God can bless it in wonderful ways, so that a lot of discipline that we anticipate, even for teen years perhaps, doesn't need to be used. Now let me hasten to add, as I conclude here, let me hasten to add, what I just gave you, these five things, are things that can help. Every one of the five need the blessing of the Lord. Because I firmly believe that parents can be very, may I say, good parents, and yet in their families there could be one or two or three children that maybe respond very poorly to loving rule. And so the goal of this and future lectures or future talks in this area is not to make you feel, if you've had one child that hasn't come in line as much as the others, to make you feel like, oh, you're just a lousy parent now. No. But these are things that, generally speaking, can help. So just like Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way that he shall go. When he is old, he shall not depart from it. That's a general rule. The Proverbs are general rules. Doesn't mean that you'll never have a child that doesn't get rebellious for 3 or 4 months of his life, or maybe a year. But it does mean that general moral principles, biblical principles, when pursued consistently, will generally produce blessing. And when the children get older, even if they stray for a while, they will generally return to those convictions of their parents. Now it's important, as a husband and wife, that you talk over these things together, that your love, your discipline, your clarity, your directions are mutual. That's very important. If one of you is softer than the other, or one of you is harder than the other, or one of you says yes and one of you says no, see, that brings that inconsistency. You can be consistent with yourself, but if you're not consistent with your spouse, you defeat the whole purpose. So, conquer the will early on. Give clear rules, clear punishments if they violate the rules. I didn't say much about that, but that's important too. You will be spanked. If you violate this rule, we cannot tolerate this in this household. This is against God's law. Tell them lovingly. They know it. And when they do it, you've got to follow through with it. Don't threaten and don't do it. Inconsistency again. So, conquer the will, give clear rules and punishments, specific directives, many questions, and a dosage of love. Let's pray. Dear Lord, help us to love our children with all our heart and mind and strength, to show them, to tell them, to embrace them. May they feel our affection. May they feel that we care about their soul. more than we care about all the possessions we own in this world. But also may they feel deep down that we care about them as people, that we care about their soul and their body. We care about their real well-being. Help us to take an interest in their lives, to ask questions, to dialogue, to give guidance, to help them bring out things, good things as well as bad things, and to talk about it scripturally. Please, Lord, give us wisdom to do that, that our children may walk with integrity before Thee, and that we may do so as well. And do forgive us for often being such poor examples. We marvel, Lord, that our children are so tolerant sometimes, so forgiving sometimes, of our parental mistakes and sins and infirmities. We thank Thee for the patience of our children, and we pray that we might be better parents by the grace of the Holy Spirit and by immersing ourselves in the Word of God and implementing its principles toward our children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So next time we'll look at how we administer the actual punishment. God willing.